Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to show number 69 of This and That podcast.
Whoa.
That was a little bit different intro, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And 69. It's number 69.
Woo. Good number.
What?
Good
what's, number. So, what's so good about that number?
I like that number.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Because it's one short of 70.
Okay. That's what I thought.
There you go.
Nothing else that I can think of
when
I think of the number 69.
Nothing else.
So in honor of the 69th show, hey, I wanted to ask you, cause I meant to mention this last week, listen to us, like we have a weekly show. I think that was the initial conception of our show, but, you know, we do it when we can. Have you ever heard of Bohemian Grove?
No.
So I thought you would. I had never heard of it before, but it's this little place that very VIP type men go. For 2 weeks in the woods, they run around naked, and it's just a whole ritual thing. It's in Wikipedia, and the best and brightest...
Where is it located?
It's in California.
Oh.
I want to say it's like in the Bay Area, but it's fairly secluded. I think that's where it is.
Okay.
Let's see. From Wikipedia, the all-male membership includes many artists, particularly musicians, as well as prominent business leaders, government officials, including some U.S. presidents and senior media executives. As a measure of the club's exclusivity, it is reported that the waiting list for membership is 15 to 20 years. And it's been around since like the turn of the century. That's what's kind of cool about it.
That is. Wow.
The Grove motto is weaving spiders come not here. I mean, it is freaky stuff. They're sworn to secrecy, kind of like being in a fraternity. They're sworn to secrecy about the rituals and so forth. And at the very beginning, they have this like huge bonfire slash like a pagan symbols and a sacrifice, a mock sacrifice.
Huh.
It's really interesting. And I've seen pictures, and you can go find them, that have some of the like famous politicians attending this stuff.
Are there any names?
Well, there are some pictures of like Reagan and Nixon and
really
people like that. Yeah.
Huh. They run around naked? Ooh.
Well, that's one of the things that they kind of do. Yeah, it's so freaky.
Ooh, well, that is freaky. A bunch of men running around naked in the woods? Yeah,
yes. Yes. I mean, that's not all that they do, but apparently that's one of the ritual things.
Hmm.
Can you imagine? You're like Richard Nixon and... All right,
Not a visual.
Time to run around naked.
Not a visual I'm trying to...
Come on, Ronnie Reagan, let's go run naked together and talk about our political agenda.
Oh, my Lord.
So, wow. I mean, it's really about business networking and things like that. But anyways, it's too much to get into here because it's just a lot of details. And there's some interesting stuff on the internet. One guy, a reporter, I guess it was about maybe 10 years ago, snuck in and reported a lot of stuff that he showed.
What's it called again? Bohemian Grove?
Bohemian Grove.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go. I had jalapenos Friday night, and I wonder if that's one of the reasons why I'm just feeling a little bit under the weather. I don't know if you can detect it in my voice, good listeners, but just a little bit under the weather. I don't know. But jalapenos were pulled out of a lot of shelves in Texas.
Yep.
As a result of that tomato scare, they kind of realized it wasn't tomatoes, and now they think it's jalapenos from Mexico, but some restaurants have pulled them off and some haven't. I was at Cafe Brazil. And I had jalapenos in my omelet.
But this isn't the first time they've been... They actually get denied entry into the country quite a bit.
Oh, do they really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're very apparently processed in a very dirty, unsanitary way.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So the tomato industry was not real happy with how the FDA handled the whole tomato scare.
No, I mean,
it's a huge amount of business loss for the tomato growers.
When there was really no reason for it, right? Because
they never came out and said it was tomatoes, right?
Yeah.
It turns out that it's probably these peppers, and peppers, they do have a pretty, if you go look it up, there quite a few shipments are stopped at the border and not let in because of unsanitary conditions.
because of custom officials that love jalapenos.
That's right. They maybe just confiscate them. Yeah.
Yes.
Who knows?
So what have you been up to since we last recorded?
Since we last recorded, I've actually been all over the country, which is interesting. That was, you know, my staycation this year.
Yes.
Instead of venturing to another continent like last year, bought myself a new fence, and instead I've gone to San Francisco for one weekend, and then Los Angeles for another weekend, and then something I've never done before, I went to the 127 sale, and I think you saw some of my pictures.
Yes, I was actually at home in Northern Illinois visiting my parents and my sister, and got some lovely pictures from Gretchen.
From the 127 sale.
And my family really liked those pictures because they're really into garage sales and that kind of thing. So,
for those of you who don't know what the 127 sale is, it's the world's longest yard sale. It covers four states, and it goes for 450 miles or 630 miles, depending on which Chamber of Commerce propaganda piece you read.
Right.
But it does cross at least four states. I started in Alabama and went north, went as far as the Kentucky line, and then had to fly out. But it does go up into Ohio. So it was started to actually showcase a road, actually U.S. 127 corridor. It began in 1987. And when a main highway was built, people stopped taking this 127. So all the businesses along there were not doing well. So
right.
They decided that once a year they would have a yard sale, and they'd invite everybody to come out, put their stuff out, basically just set up some tables along the road. And then it's grown into now 4,000 vendors that stretch out across this very long, but it's beautiful country. It's 4 days.
Really?
It's always the first weekend of August, and it always starts that first Thursday of August. This year it started on August 7th through the 10th, and my friend and I, we've garage sailed all over the world, you know, from London to Paris and Berlin and New York and LA, and we've done quite a few garage sales, so we decided we were going to do this one, the grandmama of them all.
Yeah.
It's actually covered by HGTV, Home Garden TV. They actually paid some people to be correspondents. It wasn't us. We tried. But they actually do a segment on it on there, and that's how my friend heard about it. But it was really different. I have never really spent that much time in the Deep South, and this was really the Deep South. But
were all the vendors tended to be local?
There were dealers, but yeah, there were a lot of people who just put stuff out in the front of their house, and they would get rid of their old, as we called it, undesirable glassware, which nobody really wants that old 50-cent Bud base that you got some flour in 10 years ago, or your chipped mug, or your baby's old walker that he's outgrown and spit up all over.
Right.
That's not exactly our definition of why we traveled hundreds of miles to get there, but there were some dealers, and a professional dealer, you know, they specialize usually in one category of product, and their stuff is usually, they know the history of it. It's usually very nicely displayed. And we found some really good pockets of that, but you really had to wade through a lot of the junk to get to the pockets. And there was quite a bit of taxidermy. I didn't realize that was alive and well, but it definitely is in the South. I think you saw some of the pictures of prolific collections of deer heads. I mean, deer heads everywhere.
Oh, and who wouldn't want one?
Who wouldn't want a deer head? I mean, one of the ones that I posed by was going for $900. And apparently they're really good. Collectors would actually buy them and resell them on eBay for like five times the amount.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a dying art, so there aren't that many taxidermists around. So they actually are quite collectible, even though they're absolutely appalling.
Wow. So how many did you end up buying?
Well, you know, I had to have them shipped.
Because
it would look good
in your house.
Didn't you? I thought the one that summarized it up the best was we took a picture. We got out of the car like one of the first times and we took a picture of a, you know, Ford 150 truck, and on the back, at the very back of the bed, there were two poles sticking up, and at the top of the poles on each side of the bed, there were big deer heads mounted on the top.
Yes.
It's like, oh, this is the anthem for this yard sale. It's the it's the Ford truck with the deer heads on it.
Wow.
So,
if I could see one in your house, there's nothing that quite says, Gretchen, this is my personality.
Yeah, it's
having
a deer head. Well, there was a stuffed, there was a stuffed bobcat, and there was a few other stuffed things too, but quite the assortment. Quite a few characters. Apparently, my friend and I, our accents got us noticed. I didn't think we really had accents, but apparently in the South we do.
Wow.
It was quite interesting.
You ain't from around here, is ya?
We ain't. We haven't married our cousins and reproduced.
Oh, no. So. Now we're going to get offensive calls from all of our good Southern listeners.
Oh, I know. It's not true of all of them. It's just we saw some really interesting
genetic.
We play a game called That's Your Boyfriend. there were some colorful characters that you just have to go. Not a lot of dental work in the South either. So, I'm sorry, I'm overcharacterizing. I'm just summarizing the sale. That's all.
Keep those calls from coming in.
That's right.
It's all Gretchen, not me. Putting him down.
Yeah, that's right. But if you want to see something in your life, it's probably worth checking out if you're ever in that area the first week of August.
So would you ever go again, or was once enough?
Once was enough for that one. We really liked interesting quality things, and you had to wade through a lot of junk to get to the really good stuff. So, I mean, I took one picture of the stuff I collected over 4 days, and it fills one little picture. It was, it was like $200 worth of stuff.
I should have told you beforehand, because you know what I'm kind of looking for?
What?
It's like a plastic glass that says Budweiser on it. You know?
I got you like 10,000 of those.
I really would need one of
Probably
those.
Probably got them down for a quarter, too. You know? Could have got you a collection, Jeff.
Dang.
I know.
That would be nice.
So that was fun. So I think we're going to try a different one next year. But
really?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Probably the one in Massachusetts. There's a big one outside of... in Massachusetts in May. It's supposed to get a lot of interesting dealers.
Fun.
That's my report from the 127 sale. So
very good.
It was interesting.
We should have strapped a mic on you and had you do real-time broadcasting.
Oh, there you go.
So anyway, I went to I went to Northern Illinois for a little more than, I guess, a half week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And had a nice time. We had weather of like high of 80 and low of 60.
Ooh,
this is
perfect.
August. Perfect weather.
Better than Dallas, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely better than Dallas. And then when I came back, it sort of cooled up a little bit here in Dallas. So I think I brought the weather with me, although people don't really bring the weather with them. It's just something we say.
Well, look, I see you have a weather map there.
I do in front of me. This is not a weather map, actually. This is a life expectancy map.
Oh.
And there is a Harvard's Christopher Murray, who is some sort of Harvard dude.
Harvard dude.
Examined state and counties for life expectancy and found all kinds of differences. Let me see. Let me break this down here. The interesting thing was the longest living people was similar to what we find in Japan. The shortest living people have demographics that we find similar in Russia.
Really?
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And what his conclusion was, the main thing, that disparity between long life and short life, was poor care of children. So
I thought it would be diet, but okay.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. The longest living group consists of 10.4 million Asians with a life expectancy of 85. That's 27 years longer, by the way, than the average 58-year-old life expectancy of Native Americans.
Wow.
The second group indicates that income is not a key to longer life, and this group is made up of 3.6 million low-income whites living in Minnesota, the Dakotas, Iowa, Montana, and Nebraska, with an average life expectancy of 79. They say white populations living below the median incomes in northern states have the best level of health among whites.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That unusual?
Yeah, yeah. And he says this runs counter to everything we know, or we sort of think it would be. Yeah. The third group is by far the largest group and essentially represents most of us. Has an average life expectancy of 78. And the next rank, it doesn't really categorize that anymore. It doesn't categorize that anymore. The next one comes in poor whites in Appalachia and the Mississippi Valley, and then Western Native Americans, and then Black Middle America. Low-income Southern rural blacks and high-risk urban blacks are the 7 and 8, and then you get down into the Native Americans. So anyways, I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Murray says the longevity gap can be reduced by cheap and effective measures to lower cancer and heart disease risks. Among those measures are eating healthier foods, exercising regularly, and taking medications that lower blood pressure and reduce cholesterol.
Huh.
So maybe it is access to health care to some extent as well, you know? I mean, people with high blood pressure should probably take medicine that reduces their blood pressure, and if they don't get that kind of care,
right,
then they're kind of a walking potential heart attack, mm-hmm, at an earlier age. So there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're in the middle, and we're 78?
Yeah.
Is that men and women combined?
Yeah, probably? It looks like it's men and women combined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a let me out till 2:45. Would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Something else I thought was interesting with, say, populations. I'm from Pennsylvania, and have you ever seen the Pennsylvania Dutch on the eastern side of the state in Lancaster? You know, the guys in the buggies, the Amish.
Oh, the Amish, yeah.
Amish, right. Yeah.
You know, where I grew up in the Midwest, there was an Amish town in Iowa, very, very close by. In fact, you'd go there to, like, take a day trip, not to view and poke fun of them, but because they had a lot of crafts and things.
Yeah, they do beautiful quilts and woodworking. And,
yeah.
Well, it turns out that in the last 16 years, you sort of don't hear a lot about them, but then, like, with the whole polygamous thing that just happened, I know people were talking to them about their views on it.
Okay.
But in the last 16 years, their population has doubled, and they are now living in 28 U.S. states. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I thought that was really wild that they are actually in their search for affordable farmland to accommodate their population that's doubled in the last 16 years. They've now expanded into states such as Missouri, Kentucky, and Minnesota, and that's where their population has increased 130%. There's now 227 of them nationwide. They're in seven new states, including Arkansas, Colorado, Maine, Mississippi, Nebraska, Washington, and West Virginia. So we might think they're dying out or merely surviving, but they're actually thriving. And they reject modern conveniences and rely on horse-drawn carriages.
Right.
And they get their name from when they began arriving in Pennsylvania in the 1730s. They spoke a dialect of German, which was known as Pennsylvania German or Pennsylvania Dutch. And so that's why they began to get known as, and they settled in that one particular area. They typically have five or more children, and four out of five of them stay with the church.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're flourishing, which I thought was really pretty interesting.
Well, did you ever see that reality show about the Amish?
Oh, yeah, the one about would they're going to leave or stay, right?
Yeah,
I do remember that.
I like that show. Uh-huh. It was pretty entertaining. But apparently all Amish kids have to go out into the real world and decide
if
make an active decision to stay.
Right. Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, it sort of puts... I think obviously the kids are going to be biased to go back because they're thrust into this very foreign place,
right?
You know,
mm-hmm. Whereas the polygamous children don't have that option,
right? No, they're set,
kind of forced.
They're impregnated at age of 12,
right? Their life is sort of forced.
Well, I thought this was pretty cool. To our buddy Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, he signed into legislation the California restaurant ban of all trans fats. Did you see that?
They're following New York, right?
They are following not New York State, New York City.
New York City.
So right now there's city bans in New York City, Philadelphia, Seattle, Baltimore, and Montgomery County in Maryland. California and Oregon already have laws banning trans fats in meals served at schools. So this is going to be for restaurants, which I think this is a great idea. Basically, the science on this has shown that trans fats are kind of like cigarettes in the sense that there's no safe levels.
Hmm.
Just keep away from trans fats. Now, I thought this was also kind of interesting. The legislation will go into effect 2010 for oil shortening and margarine. But restaurants could continue to use trans fat to deep fry yeast dough and in cake batter until June 2011. So I don't know why the one-year difference didn't get into it.
Wow.
I'm guessing it's just harder maybe to find substitutes for those special situations.
Mm-hmm.
So it means if you're a big cake eater, you know, beware of trans fats for another year there. But, here's a statement. California Restaurant Association opposed this bill, as you can imagine. Spokesman Daniel Conway said the Federal Food and Drug Administration, rather than individual states, should be developing regulation. He said, however, and this is the interesting part, he said that the association has no plans to challenge the law, in part because restaurants already are phasing out trans fats to satisfy customers.
Hmm.
So even the opposition to this legislation
was pretty weak.
Is pretty weak, mm-hmm. and this might be BS. It might be weak because nobody people would say, how can you support poison? You know, how mm-hmm. how can you do that when there's absolutely no medical, there's no contrary argument to trans fats being a good thing.
Right.
The only good thing is that it allows you to shelf food for longer, and how is that useful to a restaurant? So,
and typically states take the first action too when the government is reacting
right.
too slowly. Like they are definitely doing it in consumer protection, because that's what I'm living with all these times. And each individual state has now done something based on last year's recalls. And so you have all these state laws, and now we have a new federal CPSC Act that's an improvement act that Bush signed in the middle of August. And that's in conflict with some of the individual state laws. So
yeah.
when he says, oh, it should be a federal mandate, well, that's typically not how it works. I mean, some of the
right.
progressive states or cities get out there and say, hey, we have a problem here, and the government's taking too long to act.
Right. And I think sometimes I wonder about the use of state governments, you know, in this very homogenous nation of ours, when it seemed like it was something very important 200 years ago. But now I do always see the value to be, you know, if you'd wait for the whole country to rally around a whole ban for trans
right.
fat, it would never happen
right.
because it just takes so much.
So long. But now
so this is usefulness.
Starts the ball rolling, mm-hmm. and so it's going to, it probably will become some federal act, or maybe more states join the act, and
you're right.
the restaurant associations will have to phase it out because it'll be too expensive to have both.
Right.
Right.
And I hope Texas does it. I mean, what a great thing that would be for Texas restaurants. And I don't know any reason that would not. I mean, obviously, there's a cost
to
the food providers.
Right. And there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of barbecue food here, but there's deep fried food here too, right?
Yeah.
And isn't that what the hardest it is to phase out those things?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, you know, good for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense that it would be California and Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so what do you think about the Olympics? Do you have Olympic fatigue since we're here on the last day of the Olympics?
No, because I really didn't watch it.
No,
I
not
didn't.
At all.
I do have on my iPhone a little application that gives me the latest medal counts, but I just don't. You know, I heard a sports commentary. They were talking on the morning radio. And the guy was saying, you know, I liked the Olympics as a kid, and as an adult, I don't get into it. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly the way I am. I watched it every night as a kid, and I just don't get into it. I don't know.
Even with the North Texas connection with Nastia Lukin? And
it doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah,
no,
the only thing I came close to was watching the bikinis women volleyball.
The volleyball players.
Yeah.
Who happened to win gold.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. They won gold.
I didn't really care about that.
Jeff shows his true stripes.
Yeah, it's pathetic. And I remember as a kid watching all the sports and, you know, but I don't know. So did you watch a lot?
Not even the opening ceremonies?
No, I didn't see the opening ceremonies.
I was traveling, so I really didn't see those too much. But I was interested in the marquee events, which are swimming and gymnastics. But everybody was talking about the fatigue factor and that they were on so late, and sometimes they'd finish at midnight or 12:30.
Yeah, yeah.
In Central Time Zone, and you'd be really tired the next day.
Right.
And that was sort of the deal. But
there was this guy named Phelps or something.
Yeah, he did something.
Who was that?
I think he did something.
Or maybe it was Mark Spitz. Was Mark Spitz in the Olympics? I kept hearing his name.
I think he was in 72.
I kept hearing his name, so he must have done a comeback. Or
yeah, did you see the Sports Illustrated cover with
no,
him?
No, I didn't.
Well, they did a Phelps version of the Sports Illustrated cover. So
okay.
And apparently, when Mark Spitz did it in 72, and he had the 7 gold medals on his neck in the Sports Illustrated cover,
they made
45,000 posters, and Mark Spitz got some measly amount of money, like 35 cents or something, like some teeny little amount. And that was like basically the extent of what he got at the time.
Wow.
And now they're saying that Phelps could make easily $100 million over the course of his lifetime in endorsements.
Just from this.
And he's already bought, my understanding is, almost a $2 million penthouse in Baltimore. And he's bought a pool, right? So he's going to
pool, not a casino, how to swim.
I think he's actually doing inner city programs, and he's trying to get the youth out, and that's one of his goals, is to really make swimming
good for him. And I heard he's definitely going to try 4 years from now.
Yeah, so I heard he's going back for London.
He's probably, I mean, you know, this is as peaky as an athlete can peak.
Right, he's only 23, so.
Right.
So, and 14 gold medals, so.
The funniest thing, hats off, congratulations, that's pretty cool. The funniest thing I heard was one of his competitors, like before one of the races, went up to his Phelps trainer and said, I finally get your guy. I understand him. He's from the future. His father invented a time machine, and he's an average swimmer in the future. He came back here to wipe up.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly a sport where they travel with scientists, and it is very, the science of of the mechanics of fitness was.
Apparently, he's just got the right kind of body, the long arms and the slim, the whole thing going. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But the one thing that, so if you didn't watch very much of it, I was just wondering if a lot of people saw a lot of pollution, because that was the big, big worry, the one thing that the Chinese could not control.
Right.
Apparently, they spent $17 billion on environmental cleanup to keep the games clouded by the choking haze that's normally there all the time.
And do you remember, Gretchen, a few shows ago, you had mentioned that the Chinese were toying with this idea of putting balloons in that would explode.
Right. They play with the weather. They do seed the clouds. Now, it rained an awful lot from what I recall watching. It was raining a lot.
Okay.
But they did shut down. There was a government decree, industrial and traffic crunch downs beginning on July 20th. Construction sites, mines, and chemical plants with 300 different factories in neighboring cities had to cut emissions or shut down entirely. And then there was a restriction on car traffic also beginning on July 20th. There was cutbacks of 70%. Private vehicles could only drive on alternating days. Police, emergency vehicles, and taxis were exempted. So they cut Beijing's 3.3 million vehicles by 50%.
Oh, wow.
So they did an awful lot, and they're going to keep all the restrictions in place through the Paralympic Games, which go September 6th through the 17th. So all these restrictions won't end until September 20th. But I, for the most part, didn't hear all that much about the pollution. I mean, there were the athletes that got off some of the buses wearing masks, and that created a bit of a stir, and I think they apologized. But so maybe the $17 billion did pay off for them, you know?
Yeah.
And they certainly got more medals than any other country, right?
U.S. got more medals, I think, in the final, but China got more gold.
You're right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it done now?
Tonight's the closing ceremonies.
Okay. Is that as exciting as the opening ceremonies, or?
I don't know, but I heard David Beckham is taking part because he was going to represent London when they hand something over to London. Aren't they going to give London something because they get him the next time?
I guess so.
Yeah. So maybe they give London the torch, or I don't know.
Huh.
Maybe they give him a Chinese panda bear. Here, take the panda bear for the next. I don't know what they're going to hand over, but they're giving him something.
Maybe. Hey, did you tell me you saw the movie Tropic Thunder?
I did see Tropic Thunder.
I just saw it 3 nights ago or something like that.
What'd you think?
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny, too.
I mean, really goofy, but really funny.
Took him 7 years to make.
How come it took him so long?
Well, I have a feeling because of some of the controversy in it.
Wow.
The most famous quote-unquote retards.
Oh, that was so hilarious.
But it was getting a lot of negative press because of that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, for those who don't know, there's a subplot about Ben Stiller's character had played a retarded boy in a movie that got severely panned. And so the Robert Downey Jr. character is giving him some advice about why that movie did so poorly. And he was recounting other famous actors playing quote-unquote retarded people in the past. And he was, and I'm sorry, we shouldn't laugh, but man, it was funny. So politically incorrect, but honestly, kind of truthful in a way. There was a grain of truth there, right? He was talking about Forrest Gump and Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man and I Am Sam.
I Am Sam, that's what I was thinking about, right?
Yep. So.
And but the clips that they showed from this movie were just
the trailers.
It was so funny.
I think it is the best comedy this year, honestly.
The funnest part is almost the first 5 or 10 minutes when they have all these, you know, all these
trailers
from the actors' previous work, because they're all just. You know, parodies of different types of
genres in Hollywood. Yes.
We can't give anything away, but it's worth it. I wouldn't call it a great movie. It wasn't a great movie, but it was just funny.
It was funny.
It made me laugh.
I thought it was clever. I thought that there was, they clearly are making fun of Hollywood.
I don't laugh that much in theaters, but there is a one scene starting at the beginning when Ben Stiller believes he's in the movie and he's being attacked, and he starts, you know, doing all these show-offy gun moves. It's just so insane because it's like a real battle situation. Just cracked me up. His movements were so funny.
But then you see the glimpse of how the rest of the cast lives behind the scenes, right?
Yes,
you know, like,
yes.
And flying the fruit in so that the cast has the fresh fruit in Vietnam. And,
right.
Oh, Lord. And how they don't have the TiVo hooked up appropriately for...
The TiVo is funny.
The TiVo
was a constant theme.
Yeah, TiVo was a theme. But supposedly a lot of that is based on what really happens. And
right.
That just makes you see what a shallow... horrible industry it is in that regard, but maybe
right.
That's why it took 7 years to get
right.
green lighted, so to speak.
Wow.
But
it didn't take him 7 years to film, though.
No,
right?
No. It took him 7 years to actually get the
to get
money,
approval and
get
the
approval.
Money for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And also out of that world out there in the old, remember we talked about Mattel and Bratz?
Yes.
Mattel and MGA? Well, MGA makes the Bratz dolls, and I don't know if you, Bratz have knocked Barbie off the toy shelves
yes.
for the last like 6 years now. Well, Mattel sued MGA, the owner of Bratz, and Mattel won. They won big time.
Right.
That it turns out that they're saying that MGA loses the rights to all the original drawings and sculpts of the Bratz dolls because they ruled that the man who designed them, a guy named Carter Bryant, was really a Mattel employee at the time that he designed them, and the works belong to Mattel. So the jury right now is trying to figure out, they've put a price tag of $2 billion
wow.
on what those the worth of those drawings are. So they're deciding at the moment if Mattel's going to get that much. And there was a little controversy in the whole jury because Isaac Larian, who is an Iranian immigrant who founded MGA, one juror made a racial slur about his Iranian heritage. And so he wanted the whole verdict thrown out because he said, how can they be fair and impartial if they're making racial slurs about my Iranian roots? You know, so that was kind of interesting, but the judge overruled it, said no, they were fair and impartial, and now they're, last I heard, it's going to they're going to determine the amount that Mattel gets. So very interesting about,
boy,
you know,
the story
wars
keeps going.
In Toyland. Yeah I mean, that's a, can you imagine,
that's some bitter stuff,
just some couple drawings or you know, years mm-hmm. later become worth $2 billion.
I know
so
potential business of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to just get back into a little politics,
okay.
since Obama here just named his VP, and
yeah.
I guess what, next week in Denver the convention starts.
Tomorrow, baby.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Thursday, Al Gore will introduce him, and he will speak at Denver Stadium.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going?
No, not going.
So, what do you think of the choice of Biden
going.
As VP?
I think it was probably as, you know, whoever he picked, somebody would have something negative to say.
And right,
I don't think it hurts him. I mean, so there's been a lot of pros and cons. You know, he did finish fifth in Iowa as he ran his own campaign.
Right.
Mr. Biden.
Not
did.
A real strong guy.
Not a real strong showing there.
No.
You know, and he did run in 88, and yes, he puts his foot in his mouth, but God, he's been serving Delaware for 35 years.
And we both have said we like his Meet the Press appearances. He's very intelligent, and he's very... Well,
he's a talker.
He talks an awful lot. He's a very much of a politician, and I mean that though in the good sense of a politician, not in the bad sense. He knows how to flash the smile. He mm-hmm. can kiss babies and shake
right.
hands, and he's very much the politician. But I definitely see him being able to play a statesman role. Definitely, he's a very smart fellow.
Right.
That's what, you know, I've always kind of liked about him.
And obviously, the two of them get along, even though they had their
right.
differences at the beginning, which, you know, we're all going to hear it all or see it all now in the McCain
right,
ads.
Right.
Which I think whoever McCain picks, there'll be similar ads running,
yeah.
you know, about somebody having negative things to say about him. But yeah, it's also polarizing. I think that's what's getting so many people. It's just kind of depressing. It's like, do we all want what's best for the country? You know.
I know.
And
both of these guys, I guess this is why they probably get along well together, is both of these guys, I've always seen Biden as definitely being Democratic, no doubt about that, but always reaching, the kind of guy that would reach across
the aisle
and talk
mm-hmm.
about policy.
He's very good friends with McCain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that goes a long way. And
to get to be the leader of two of the most powerful Senate committees, which he has done, judiciary and foreign relations, he's got to be pretty politically savvy.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, you've got to know what you're doing. I mean, for years, too. I mean, what, he was like 9 years for the Judiciary Committee, and he's been foreign relations for quite a few years. So
So here we are in an election with two congressmen,
two congressmen.
And now a congressman, VP, odd. So I wonder what the fourth one will be.
Oh, yeah, really.
I have a feeling it'll be the Michigan guy.
Minnesota.
Mitt Romney.
Massachusetts guy.
Oh, Massachusetts. Why am I thinking Michigan? Duh.
Well, he was from there, wasn't he? Or something. He's got ties to Michigan.
Maybe that's what it is.
But he's Massachusetts governor. Now, he had some pretty critical things to say of McCain, so you remember that?
Yeah.
There were some ugly things he'd said.
You know, and the natural defense is to say, hey, these guys were competing in the primaries. I mean, that's what people do.
Yeah,
you know?
And you'd hope people would see through that and realize, oh, my God, when you're running against somebody, you're not going to say favorable things about them all the time.
All the time, right, exactly. So, Biden, do you think he's an experienced president? Well, he's my opponent,
yes.
And I'm more experienced, so yes.
Yes, I'm 65. He's 47. I think I have more experience than him.
Hey, and I saw a picture of Biden in the internet this morning, and I thought, wow, he's grayed up a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe it just seems like he's always had some brown and gray, but he's all gray now.
Is he?
Has he all been all gray for a while? Maybe I just haven't noticed.
When he was running.
All right, maybe.
Right.
I'm thinking maybe he's playing for that gray McCain crowd.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
But I did hear that from the VP debate is that he's gonna, you know, the VP competitor for that will have a tough.
Oh, you mean when they debate each other?
Yeah, because he's just been around for so long and he's so smart. He's you know, as long as he doesn't put his foot in his mouth, which he can do.
Aren't they giving him six gaffes between now and November?
Is that what
that's the number?
Is that what the odds are?
There's going to be six gaffes between now and November.
That's about.
So we'll have to keep a
2 a month, I guess,
scorecard on the gaffe count for Biden.
They will come, and you know it's okay.
Yeah, but the question is now: can you know? The Labor Department released a study this week. And it's not good. You know, it's not good. The economy just basically sucks right now.
Yeah.
Now, any statistic just says it sucks. It's quantitative proof what Americans have been feeling for months. Almost everything costs more and people have less money to pay for it. That is pretty telling. And this is definitive proof. Inflation is running at the fastest pace in 17 years. The job market's under further strain. It's really gloomy economic news, as this whole article is pointing out. Prices are up almost 6% higher last month in July than they were 1 year ago. So 6% over the course of 1 year. That's a lot. Wages are not keeping up. Number of mortgage foreclosures shot up by more than 50% in July. Four-week average for new applications for unemployment benefits rose to a six-year high. I mean, there's a lot of problems with the economy, but this is a natural business cycle. We recognize that. It comes, it gets highs and lows.
Right.
It's going to get high again, but at the moment it's at a low, and you know, people are feeling it. And
well, you say that, but at the same time, there's growing international competition.
True.
And,
true.
You know,
especially for oil.
Is this a natural cycle, or is this a, you know, a sort of a shifting of the economic powers?
Power? Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That could be. And speaking of that, another something that you've been hearing that both people campaigning have been saying, that America is, you know, the world's richest country. Well, surprisingly, it's not. Do you know who is? Which country is the richest?
Brunei.
No, actually, it's Switzerland. They have the high. They have a median household income of $62,000 compared with $48,000 in the U.S. And Luxembourg has $78,000 per capita GDP, which is the amount of gross domestic product generated per citizen, $78,000 compared with $44,000 of ours.
Wow.
So we're really not the richest country, so to speak,
right?
By the two greatest measures that you could do. So we come in behind Switzerland and Luxembourg. And last year, the number of millionaires in China, Russia, and India grew faster than the number of millionaires in the U.S.
Now, to be fair, those countries are lower in the economic curve, so they have a smaller percentage overall anyway, so the increase in percentage would be easier.
Right.
And also, countries like Switzerland and Luxembourg are tiny, so they don't have nearly the impact of an America.
That is true. There are far fewer young workers in Europe, China and Japan and Russia, and you don't see U.S. college graduates from the United States heading to Luxembourg to make their fortunes.
Right, right, right.
There's still a cachet about people want to come to the U.S. more than any other country because the opportunity for that amazing
American
dream
is here. It's a larger slice of
here.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully we can continue that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have the capabilities to do it. I think we, as we talked about a lot of times on this show, we have to get the schools right in order to press on and become a better country and all that.
Right.
We just can't have dumb people. It's not going to propel us anywhere.
So speaking of dumb people.
Yes. And she's looking at as she talks about it.
No, I was just thinking last podcast we talked about what I think we were talking about was a dumb person who, by the way, committed suicide.
But we got a voicemail on that from Ken from Hawaii. Thank you, Ken, by the way.
Yes, I don't think we were intending to make fun of people committing suicide.
No.
Yes, that is not a nice thing to do, and I don't think we would do that. I think we were more laughing at the fact that he was trying to get rid of the gun that he used by attaching it to a helium balloon, but the helium balloon didn't work. And then I think I was wondering, well, if he wanted to get rid of the weapon he used, was he trying to make it look like someone killed him?
Right.
Or was he trying to defraud an insurance company?
Right.
You know, and
right.
So what was really the purpose of getting rid of the gun? Was it the stigma attached to suicide?
So right, maybe.
Or did he want the police to go on a wild goose chase looking for somebody who murdered him?
Right.
But I think we were laughing that the balloons didn't work and the plot didn't work, and that apparently it's actually been on a TV show, right? It was on CSI or something.
Right.
So is this really true, or is it an urban legend?
It is true.
It really happened.
Yeah, it was a Dallas executive.
It really did happen. Oh, wow.
So,
it's Dallas related.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how I picked it up in the news.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a Dallas executive of, what company was that?
So was he embarrassed? Is that why he was trying to get rid of the gun? Do you remember?
I don't think they know.
Well,
I mean, they couldn't ask him.
So, we're not supposed to laugh.
I know. But we feel for the family. Ken was saying we didn't feel, you know, as hard for the family. And, you know, there is a balance when we do this show about pointing out things that we find funny and being sensitive you know, obviously suicide and depression is not something to make fun of. And I think, you know, we can all sort of look at examples of people that we know or people in our network that have fallen prey to, you know, things like that. And it's not funny, but when it's not people that are involved, immediately involved in us, and it's funny set of circumstances. I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it was definitely newsworthy. Yeah. I mean, it made the wires, and as you said, it got picked up as a TV show because it was that unusual.
Right.
But I think we were just kind of, you know, laughing that, wow, somebody that maybe that smart made some miscalculations.
Right.
And for all his good intentions, it didn't work like he thought. So.
Right.
So anyhow, we didn't mean any offense. That was just, I think we were more surprised at the dumb act than the horrible act of suicide.
Right. It's kind of like the same kind of humor as what are those Darwin Award things that come around once a year where people usually die, you know, and yet they're sent around on the internet because they're funny, because they do such stupid things like, hey, I'm strap a bomb to my back and put on a skateboard and see how fast I can go.
Oh, okay.
You know,
like
so,
a jackass thing?
Right.
Right, okay.
Right.
No.
But by the way, when we're talking about the Olympics, I did want to mention, did you see that Michael Phelps got this big endorsement on Frosted Flakes instead of Wheaties? And it was a big controversy because
Frosted Flakes.
Health groups are saying, come on, this is not healthy food at all.
Right,
you know?
I did see that. Frosted Flakes, I thought that was really unusual. It's like they're coming out in the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
The photos. What happened to Wheaties?
I don't know.
They didn't pay him enough money?
Well, let me see what I've got here. He'll appear on boxes, blah, 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 drawing sharp criticism from health experts. Doesn't say. Now, Frosted Flakes has 3 times the amount of sugar as Wheaties and 1/3 the fiber.
Hmm.
Mmm, yummy.
But, you know, he eats 12,000 calories a day, so perhaps he can really eat Frosted Flakes and it doesn't bother him at all.
Right.
But for the majority of people who are watching their 2,000 calories.
It is a good point. One of these health people said, you know, they'd much rather see him on the cover of something like Fiber One, you know, or promoting oatmeal or something. You know, that actually is kind of a good point. Because even Wheaties, it's not that good for you. It's full of all kinds of preservatives and crap. Mm. I mean, it's better than Frosted Flakes. It's better than the sugary cereals. Mm-hmm. But it does make sense. Here you have an athlete who is at the top of his game, who's got all the world's press on him.
Right, and he can pick whatever
he wants. He can pick whatever he wants.
Right.
Shouldn't he kind of pick something really good for you? I mean, he's a capitalist.
Little,
he can do anything he
all
wants.
All the little
but,
kids who are going to look up to him and go out and eat Frosted Flakes and then not swim the 4 hours to 7 hours a day that he does.
Right.
And,
right.
But he endorsed it, you know.
Yeah.
And also he suffered from ADHD as a kid. Now, does that really help with ADHD?
What is ADHD?
Attention deficit.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he had a real hard time focusing, which is why his mom put him in swimming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, sugar doesn't help that.
No, it doesn't help that at all. So I don't deny his right to promote any damn thing he wants.
No,
you know,
he can. Will. He'll pick things. Yeah. That are, I mean, what's he going to really choose? I mean, he could, does Speedo really need any more coverage?
Right.
They got so much press, you know, about their new suit and
right.
Is he going to endorse towels? I mean, what's he going to endorse?
Swim caps.
you know, of course he's going to. You know, it's going to be like the Tiger Woods, the Accenture. Maybe he'll do Buick. Who knows?
Right.
I always believed Tiger Woods was driving a Buick. Didn't you?
I know exactly.
It seems like the right car for him.
Night swimming deserves a quiet night. The photograph on the dashboard, taken years ago, turned around backwards so the windshield shows. Every street light reveals a picture in reverse.
Well, speaking about political gaffes, I did want to mention one thing about McCain. He said, let me just say this and I'll have my little comment to it. When asked about the number of houses he owned in an interview, McCain was unable to answer. He goes, I think I'll have my staff get back to you. It's condominiums where I'll have to get them to you.
Right.
So he didn't know.
Right.
All kinds of criticism about the fact that, wow, look at this pompous elite guy, doesn't know how many houses he owns. My thinking, and again, I'm for Obama in this campaign, so I should, as a loyal Democrat, say, yeah, look at this pompous guy, doesn't know how many houses he have. I'm sorry. That's not important in this election.
Right.
And yes, he is a rich guy and he does have lots of aides and he probably doesn't know exactly the status of his portfolio. Big freaking deal. And you know what? Even more towards the point, I've been reading books about the revolutionary leaders lately, and they firmly believed in the idea of being an enlightened and rich gentleman
sure.
to go into public service so that
right.
you can go into public service
and give back
and, give back and you have no outstanding interests. That was really important to them. That we don't do so good on that these
right.
days, but
right.
no outstanding interests at all. And they maintained, and this is Jefferson, Hamilton,
Washington,
all these guys,
yeah.
They maintain that they're in the best position if they were rich, moneyed, secure,
right.
to actually understand the plight of poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, that has completely reversed. Now we feel that if we can't have a beer with a guy, that he can't be president. And shouldn't it be, it's like, don't you really want somebody a lot smarter than you?
A little smaller than the guy who's having the beer. I know, I thought it was really kind of ridiculous.
So this is the kind of ridiculous stuff
it
that...
It happens every 4 years. They're all very wealthy. Anybody who's in Congress is very wealthy just
right.
to get there.
Right.
And you own multiple homes just by definition of being in Congress.
Right.
And remember Kerry? His wife had many, many houses.
Right.
I mean, they came after her because she had so many houses.
Right.
Cindy McCain has a lot of investment property and a lot of houses. And Obama has one big one. It's $1 million. Okay, I mean, they're all
wealthy. How can
wealthy.
I have a beer with that? He's too wealthy. I can't have a beer with him. He can't be my president.
But they're all like that. And that's
I know.
That's what they are. So accept it. And I just think that this is a level playing field. One has a $100 million wealthy wife. The other one made $4 million last year. It's all a wash.
And,
you know,
and the big picture of Kerry parasailing 4 years ago, that, you know, put him away. Oh, my God. Well, why?
I know. They're all wealthy. I mean, they are in the top 2%, probably the top 0.5%. I mean, they are super, super wealthy. Just give it a rest.
So McCain, I may not be supporting you, but
we don't care.
This
that he doesn't
is
know
not
how many houses.
This is not a gaffe. This is not your fault, John.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so have you heard about Hallmark? You know, that bastion of
greeting cards?
Popular culture based in Kansas City.
Yes.
They have come out with something very controversial. They have launched gay marriage cards.
They really don't seem like a controversial Kansas City company,
oh,
you know?
They
wow,
don't.
Gay marriage cards.
But go, you know, kudos for them for actually recognizing that even though most states don't recognize it, only California and Massachusetts do, they have come out with same-sex wedding cards.
Wow.
One of the cool. slogans is two hearts, one promise. There's no mention of wedding or marriage, so some of them are suitable for commitment ceremonies. And it's a move in response to consumer demand, not political pressure.
Right.
So isn't that interesting?
No, there could
Good
be
for
a,
them.
There could be a backlash for them, quite frankly.
Oh, there has been. I mean,
yeah.
I've been reading a lot of the, well, I read a lot of the comments on where these articles appeared, and oh, the number of people who think homosexuality is a sin, and how
yeah.
could they do this, and, you yeah. know, aren't those the Christians who are really not loving their neighbors as themselves, as they really should? As Hallmark spokeswoman Sarah Colo said, it's our goal to be as relevant as possible to as many people as we can. Their number one competitor, American Greetings, however, has no plans to enter that market.
Well, not right now. They're going to see what the backlash is first, right? Before
Absolutely.
They make a business decision, of course.
They're going to see how many people run to these cards.
Right.
Hallmark has done a lot of things over the past couple years that I didn't realize. They offered coming out cards last year. They have four designs of same-sex marriage cards that are being released this summer. They also had cards for people who find it difficult to get pregnant and people going through rehab.
How about
so
that?
Look at that. I mean, wow. The fact that someone like Hallmark is growing into that niche shows it's growing and signals a trend, says a spokeswoman for the Association of Greeting Cards. Wow.
Well, it
so
probably does
you
show, you know, when you have a greeting card for it, I guess it kind of shows that it's definitely in the popular
it's
culture.
It's in the popular culture and that people are looking for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I say hats off to them for recognizing that.
Well, speaking of which, I kind of gated up a little bit last night and I went to this. Have you ever heard of the Uptown Players?
No.
No, that's it's they tend to be gay oriented. It's a play theater, and I love local theater.
All right,
so I'll see straight, gay, whatever. It doesn't bother me. I'm very comfortable with my hetero sexuality. But this was fun. It was a musical, which I love.
Oh, yes, you do.
I do love my musicals. You know that.
Yes, he does.
But the premise is called Xana Don't, and the premise was a bunch of high schoolers, kind of like a Grease kind of thing, but they were all gay. It was a world where gay was normal. And yes. hetero was affected only a small number of people and
wow.
kind of outlandish and weird.
Wow, how wild.
And
interesting concept.
Yeah. So they went through the whole thing and this one guy and girl sort of like, I don't understand these feelings that you throw forth and so on. And how they're you kind of shunned for a while. And the music was really good. A lot of choreography, a lot of fun dancing. It was
wow.
really, you know, small theater, but I was probably the only straight male in the joint, you know. And my date was probably the only straight female in the joint, but that's okay. I don't care. But it was really good, and the performances were great.
That's a really interesting concept.
I know, isn't it, though?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, apparently it's been on Broadway for a while, or maybe off-Broadway. So it's like this isn't traveling, per se. It's designed to be performed by local companies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's not a Dallas production, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it has been in New York and so forth. But the reason that they wrote it, I think a couple of gay guys wrote it, was to really sort of help out young gay teens that were struggling with these kind of things and say, you know, this is, you know, how it looks from the other side.
Right. You're okay.
Yeah, yeah, essentially.
Hmm.
So, but it was really well done. I liked it.
Wow, very
so,
good.
So that's Jeff's gay moment for the show.
Oh, well, for every year, surveys come out and say America's most dangerous jobs. And again, this year, the dangerous jobs
project
are out.
Management.
PMPs, number one.
Dang. I'm telling you, there's danger every time I go out there.
Workplace fatalities actually dropped during 2007, but what is troubling is that the number of murders in the workplace jumped substantially.
Oh, no.
And it's not limited just to postal employees. So, 5,488 people died of injuries on the job. Yeah, that was interesting. 13% more workplace homicides last year than in 2006. So it's interesting. But
yeah.
The number one most dangerous job, again, this year, for the third year in a row, would be fishing.
Fishing. I would have thought mining.
Fishing. No, it's fishing.
Huh.
If you watch Deadliest Catch on...
God, shows for everything, aren't there?
Shows for everything, yeah, where they go about getting the crabs and they show how deadly it is.
Really?
That's why crab prices are so expensive, because they're so hard to get.
What happens? What's dangerous about it?
Oh, they can be swept overboard. Oh. They run into ice. They handle heavy power equipment, such as winches and hoists. And if something does go wrong, they're miles from any kind of help.
Yeah.
So that's just really bad. So ice forms on the rigging and the water lines, and it has dramatic and dangerous effects. The boats can roll over. Fish stock is depleted in certain areas, making people go further and further to find supplies of fish.
Yeah.
And then the second most dangerous profession this year is logging, which
I log onto my computer all the time. I don't find it that dangerous. So I don't see what the big deal is. People just need to know how to type properly.
There's actually a show about logging too, believe it or not. It's become less dangerous because of mechanization. Now, instead of working with chainsaws on the ground, loggers sit in steel enclosed cabs of big machines, and they control chainsaws that go out and cut off different parts of the tree. But sometimes those branches fall onto somebody, and they call them widow makers.
Not so great.
And the third most dangerous profession is flying. Commercial pilots had a bad year. It was an improvement. Last year, they were the second most dangerous. This year, the third most dangerous. Like small-scale operations like bush pilots in Alaska and wilderness areas, they go down. Construction is number four, which isn't all that surprising. And job fatality figures indicate that Texas had the highest number of deaths.
Really?
Well, up 8% from 06, 527 deaths.
Oh, wow.
So we are a dangerous state here in Texas.
Well,
when it comes to working on the job.
Maybe it's best to just stay at home and not leave the house.
Or not work, right?
Or not work. That's a good idea, too.
There you go. Let's not do it.
Well, speaking about Texas, actually, we're just about got to wrap this up.
Okay.
But I thought this little blurb in the paper, which cracked me up. News from Frisco. Frisco is our far north suburb.
Okay.
That's kind of an ugly suburb. Have you ever been up to Frisco?
I think I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's not... It's just very big houses, no trees, and lots of SUVs.
Yes,
kind of a turnoff.
Right.
Kind of a turnoff.
It's planned communities, right?
Yeah. So this fellow is a CEO for some small company. He got notices from his Stonebriar Homeowners Association. Stonebriar is up there. There's a golf course up there.
Okay,
in fact, Stonebriar is actually where Tony Romo is moving.
Oh, okay. All
which right. I thought, God, Tony, why do you want to... I mean, he's a golfer and it's right on the golf course. So it actually makes sense
course.
For him.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But it's like, dude, you're young and single and you're living in like the most horrible place in the world.
Yes, okay.
Now, I'm sorry, Frisco listeners. But can we have our biases? I mean, if you like Frisco, that's great for you.
Right. It doesn't work for single people.
No, it doesn't work
for single people. It's probably a great place to raise a family, but...
Well, I don't even know about that. It seems
very
greedy to me.
Mm.
It just big houses and big cars.
Mm.
It doesn't seem very green in Frisco to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he is not allowed to park his 2007 Ford 150, which is
a new pickup truck,
in his driveway because it's not good enough. They have the homeowners association says pickup trucks are not allowed in the driveway, although other luxury vehicles, including the Cadillac Escalade and Lincoln Mark LT, pass.
Are you serious?
Most domestic pickups are banned.
The homeowners association are saying what cars are allowed to be in your driveway.
Yes,
that's appalling.
So this has actually made the news and everything because it's not like it's an old beater, right?
Right.
It's a new pickup truck. And there's lawyers now on both sides of this issue looking into it. Last year, another resident had his Chevrolet Avalanche. I think that's a pickup truck,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's an Avalanche as a pickup.
Qualified as a pickup, and it also had to be moved inside the garage. But after he did hire a lawyer and argued his case, they made an exception for his Avalanche. So, you always hear about these little stories about how people hate homeowners associations
because
they just take every little thing and,
homogenize it.
So yeah, and homogenize it. And I would be appalled. This is just appalling. It's just a new pickup truck. What's the deal? What's the matter with having an average car?
Right.
And I think homeowners associations probably get led by people who are a little egotistical, mm-hmm. and so they make these black and white rules because they're trying to make improvements and be good. I'm sure the intention is good, but they get power hungry and become silly. This is just silly.
So basically, they're mandating what cars you can and cannot show.
Right. You can have it in your garage. Right.
No.
Right.
Not visible. What if you have two pickup trucks? What if your profession requires you to have a pickup truck?
Right.
What if you're a contractor?
Right.
I mean,
it's just craziness.
It's pretty wild. What would they say about your neighbor next door?
Yeah, that old.
That's a beater.
That yellow beater from the 60s.
It hasn't moved.
No.
In what? How many years? 10?
I've been here since 1999.
It hasn't moved in nine years.
She'll get out. You know, it's this woman and her mother, aged mother, and she'll get out and start it up every twice a year or so.
Just to make sure it still starts.
I guess so. It's like, what do you even care?
It's kind of a fixture in the neighborhood. I
know.
Can you imagine if you had a homeowners association?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be the first to go.
It would. Yeah. Hey, my car wouldn't pass muster at this point. My Beamer, because it's so old and... I don't clean it as often as I should.
That's appalling. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so another reason not to go live in Frisco.
Not to live in Frisco unless you fit in. I mean, even Highland Park doesn't have those rules.
I know. I don't think so. I've never heard of those. But this is a community.
Yes,
you know, it's not true. I guess it's not the city per se, but it's Stormbriar.
Wow.
Anyways.
Wow. Well, till next time then, huh?
Till next time.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. We always say we need an ending.
I know. We never do.
We do need an ending.
Is this still recording?